Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, October 1st, 2025. We begin our reading on the front page, big article, The Last Confirmed Sighting of David Jordan, One Bizarre Night. Neighbor recalls events that led up to shooting of police and fire on Ash Street in Gibson City. Kyle Shippard walked up to his Gibson City home on the 100 block of Ash Street during the wee hours of Saturday, August 9th. It was after 2 a.m., and he had received a ride to town after his car had broken down in Mahomet. He couldn't have been prepared for what greeted him. Shippard said his next-door neighbor, David D. Jordan, was standing under a streetlight in Jordan's front yard. Jordan was naked. Shippard hollered at Jordan, whom he said scurried to hide behind some trees in his yard. It was just the beginning of a bizarre night. Shippard said he called police. Three officers arrived, and he told them what he had seen. They headed to Jordan's house. Shippard waited on the front porch. After officers knocked on Jordan's door, he heard popping noises, and he knew what it was. The sound of gunfire. Two of the law enforcement personnel were hit, and a third was unhurt. Shippard headed indoors to escape getting hit. He said the commotion sounded like a gunfight, but authorities later said the officers had not returned fire. He said he believes some of the noise came from exploding ammunition in Jordan's home, which he had set on fire. Shippard watched the fire spread. I watched from my window my garage burned down, he said. The detached garage sat about 3 feet from Shippard's house. Shippard said the fire also caused considerable damage to his residence. He lauded the work of first responders. At one point, an ambulance drove up to the scene, but police ordered the driver to back up because it was an active shooting scene. The wounded police, one a Gibson City officer and one a Ford County Sheriff's officer, were taken to area hospitals and later released. Both were placed on administrative leave. The deputy, who has been serving for 6 years, was struck in the left knee and left arm. The officer, who has been serving for 1 year, was struck in the left hip. Jordan's house was a total loss. The morning after the shooting, area fire departments combed through the wreckage but found no sign of the owner, which set off a manhunt. As of Monday, September 29th, Jordan has not been found. Among the tips of Jordan's possible whereabouts was one that he had been seen in the Sibley area, but the tip, which resulted in a search involving multiple law enforcement agencies, yielded nothing. State police are in charge of the investigation. Sergeant Melissa Albert Lopez said this week there was no additional information to report. Shippard has filed a legal complaint in Ford County Circuit Court against Jordan for damage to Shippard's property. A legal complaint is the initial document filed by a plaintiff to start a lawsuit. It outlines the allegations against the defendant and specifies the legal grounds and relief sought. Shippard is seeking in excess of $50,000 to replace the garage and to repair his home. Represented by the Bloomington law firm Kraft, Wood & Kelly, Shippard is seeking a bench trial and asked for judgment in an amount greater than $50,000 for both compensatory damages and punitive damages, together with costs and fees and whatever other equitable relief the court deems proper. Back on the front page, we have an article headlined, Never Forget Their Names. Gold Star 500 makes overnight stop in county. Gibson City. A group of cyclists rolled into Gibson City on Tuesday, September 23rd, as part of a region-wide 530-mile trek to reach out to Gold Star families in central Illinois. The annual Gold Star 500, organized by the Gold Star Mission, honors fallen Illinois military service members and their families. The group's mission, preserving the memory of our fallen heroes by inspiring others in need, has inspired a range of activities, including the Gold Star 500 as one of its signature events. Russell and Diane Coulter of Gibson City were among the Gold Star families who visited with the cyclists during their stop in Gibson City, which included an overnight stay in the gymnasium of Gibson City Melvin Sibley Middle School. Their grandson, Sergeant Joshua Rogers, was killed in a firefight in Afghanistan in 2017 at age 22 during his third year of service. Also there was his mother, Vonda Rogers of Bloomington, who has been volunteering with the Gold Star mission for 4 years. For each Gold Star 500, she drives a support vehicle behind the riders, often taking on the role of spokesman for the group. Rogers is passionate about her work with the organization. This group is like family to me, she said. We are surrounded by love. These riders are patriots, Gold Star family members and friends. Anyone in the armed forces that has seen combat and has lost someone. It's an unimaginable loss, but we always remember and never forget the names of the fallen. Rogers said her work with the Gold Star mission has helped her with her grief because it gives her a chance to celebrate her son's life, not just memorialize his death. We want people to remember their lives and their stories, she said. My son was a hero and living his dream. Now we say his name, which is what every Gold Star family member wants. The Gold Star 500 riders can participate in a single 100-mile segment of the annual bike ride or complete the entire route. Participants come from all over the country. Greg Oderich of Denver, Colorado, pausing to repair his bike at the overnight stop in Gibson City, said he would complete the entire 500 miles. My grandfather served in Vietnam. And when I heard about this ride, I knew I wanted to be part of it, Oderich said. The purpose behind it matters. Always remember, never forget, is the motto the group honors at each stop along the route. After the names of the local fallen military heroes are stated, there is a moment of silence, after which, always remember and never forget, are repeated 3 times each in honor of the fallen. The visits from the Gold Star 500 riders are celebratory for local Gold Star families and can be cathartic, said Eric Murray, a Gold Star 500 volunteer. At lunches or evening meals held at stops along the route, local Gold Star families are encouraged to attend. At each gathering, family members and friends are given an opportunity to speak at an open microphone about the life of their fallen service member. Some people choose not to speak, but others come up and say the names and remember the lives of those they lost, Murray said. Some who have never talked about it open up. It is very moving. We want to get as many communities as we can and give them the opportunity. The Gold Star mission also collects donations to produce videos of fallen soldiers for families and others to share. So far, 14 videos have been produced and are available to view at goldstarmission.org. The videos bring the fallen soldiers to life, Rogers said. Also, the Gold Star mission began offering scholarships in 2017 in honor of Illinois fallen military service members to those who exemplify selfless service in their own communities, according to the group's website. It has awarded $317,000 in scholarships so far. Recipients are asked to learn about the person they represent and honor them at an annual banquet. The lodging arrangements for the Gold Star 500 cyclists in Gibson City were made by A.J. Richard, Director of Student Services for the GCMS School District. Superintendent Jeremy Darnell was on hand to welcome the riders to GCMS Middle School's gym, where they slept overnight on cots, while Richard stayed busy helping the riders find the showers and the dryers for their wet clothes as a sudden rainstorm had soaked the cyclists while en route. The cyclists left Gibson City the next morning, riding on to Rantoul, their next destination. The five-day bicycle ride, which spanned from Tuesday, September 23rd, through Saturday, September 27th, began in Springfield and also passed through Lincoln, Clinton, Danville, Paris, Olney, Noble, Flora, Mount Vernon, Pinckneyville, Highland, Marine, and Litchfield, where a closing ceremony was held. Approximately 20 to 25 riders were expected to be on the road each day. For more information about the Gold Star Mission or how to get involved, visit their webpage, goldstarmission.org, or email publicrelations@goldstarmission.org. Back on the front page, we have from the HUDS Family Fun Zone. Free fun, fellowship at HUDS for every Tuesday for the 55 and over crowd. HUDS Family Fun Zone hosts free senior mornings. Paxton. HUDS Family Fun Zone is drawing a different kind of crowd on Tuesday mornings. With the launch of its Senior Mornings program, the Entertainment Center at 137 North Market Street in downtown Paxton has become a favorite gathering spot for residents 55 and older who are encouraged to stop by every Tuesday from 9 to 11 a.m. to play the variety of arcade and other games available for free. The initiative, owner Andy Hudson said, fills the gap left by the closure of the Paxton Senior Center, offering a space where older adults can socialize while enjoying games and activities in a lively, non-traditional setting. We started HUDS to provide some place for kids to go, Hudson said. Then we realized there was a gap in place for seniors to go after the Senior Center closed. I wanted to provide some place for seniors to get together and do things. There is plenty to do, too. During the two-hour Tuesday morning time slot, guests have unlimited access to the arcade games there, excluding the coin-operated prize machines, as well as a jukebox, an outdoor room with a badminton net, a ping-pong table, and a cornhole set. Patrons can also choose to relax in a party room that serves coffee, tea, and home-baked goods every Tuesday morning, or they can take advantage of the movie room with a widescreen television that can also connect to a variety of gaming consoles. For the seniors, it is a chance to have fun without judgment. The seniors like to play the games without being under the critical eye of their grandkids, joked manager Brad Richardson. The program brings people together. Employee Evelyn O'Banion said she and co-worker Rhonda Watts provide the homemade snacks served in the party room, ranging from cookies and cakes to seasonal treats. Pumpkin-themed snacks are making an appearance this month, said O'Banion, who also oversees HUD's social media. The arcade features many vintage arcade games, including such titles as Frogger and Pac-Man, which some older folks might even remember playing. Hudson plans to add new games, too, including a vintage pinball game. I like the race car game, patron Ellie White said as she sat with friends in the party room on a recent Tuesday, enjoying conversation, coffee, and treats. It can be tough to get around the track, and it makes me laugh. White said the bowling arcade game is also a lot of fun. Joining White and her friends at HUDS on that recent Tuesday were a group of seniors playing team badminton and video games. On another visit, the ping pong table was seeing action. We play for fun, one player said. We don't keep score. Mary Rogers said she comes to HUDS every Tuesday, as do many of her friends. We appreciate what Andy is doing, Rogers said. The games are fun. It's a nice place to hang out for fellowship. We come in and see people we know and that we wouldn't see otherwise, added her friend, Patsy Phillips. Richard said about 15 seniors take part each Tuesday morning, sometimes more. Recently, Accolade Healthcare Senior Living of Paxton brought over several of its residents. Even Hudson's own parents go there, as they were seen playing football there last month. In addition to its senior mornings, Hudson also offers seniors a discounted daily admission rate of $5 during regular business hours. And we have a story from Iroquois County on the dry weather. Iroquois County reissues burn ban 6 days after lifting it. Watsika. A burn ban that was in place across Iroquois County was lifted Tuesday, September 23rd, only to be put back into effect 6 days later. Although many parts of the county have not received much rain at all, the decision to lift the ban has been made, Iroquois County Emergency Management Agency Coordinator Scott Anderson said in a September 23rd news release. If a lack of rain continues or high winds develop, this ban will be put back in effect. On Monday, September 29th, the burn ban in Iroquois County was reissued until further notice. We have not received enough rain to prevent fires from quickly spreading, and there is nothing in the forecast to give us the moisture we will need, Ashcombe Fire Chief and MABAS Division 37 President Jeff Glenn said in a September 29th news release. The lack of rain and warm conditions ahead were the main reasons for reissuing the burn ban. Everything is just tinder dry. The burn ban was instituted by fire chiefs of Iroquois County, who under state law have authority to issue a burn ban directing everyone to refrain from any open burning, including landscape waste, agricultural waste, and household trash. Also included in the ban are any type of consumer fireworks. The fire departments can, by law, impose fines for violation of this burn ban and will, after warning and extinguishing those fires, impose a fine of $100, the September 29th news release said. Fines will double for the second violation. In Ford County, meanwhile, a countywide burn ban that had been announced earlier in the week was lifted last weekend, because it was issued by the Ford County Emergency Management Agency, not the county's fire chiefs, as required. Now, from the Ford County Public Health Department, flu vaccination clinics continuing in Ford County. Paxton. The Ford County Public Health Department will offer the following walk-in flu vaccination clinics this month. From 9 a.m. to noon, Tuesday, October 7th, at Gibson City Telecare, 215 East 3rd Street in Gibson City. From 8:30 to 11 a.m., Wednesday, October 8th, at the Kempton American Legion, 212 1st Street in Kempton. From 9 to 11 a.m., Thursday, October 9th, at the American Evangelical Lutheran Church on 905 East 1st Street in Gibson City. From 9 to 11 a.m. Monday, October 14th, at Kirby Foods at 144 West Pell Street in Paxton. From 1 to 4 p.m. Monday, October 14th, at the Piper City Community Center, 64 West Peoria Street in Piper City. From 9 to 11 a.m. Thursday, October 16th, at the Elliott Amvets Post, number 276, 111 South Main Street in Elliott. From 1 to 3 p.m., Thursday, October 16th, at the Railside Golf Course, 120 West 19th Street in Gibson City. And from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Saturday, October 18th, at the Health Department office at 1500 West Ottawa Road in Paxton. Next, we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, October 1st. Carrie Wilson Fisher, Gibson City. Carrie Wilson Fisher, 77, a one-time resident of Gibson City, died Monday, September 22nd, at the home of a friend in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at the time of publication, but burial will take place at Silverbrook Cemetery of Niles, Michigan, at a future date. Viola Marie Husted, Paxton. Viola Marie Husted, of Peoria, Arizona, formerly of Paxton, passed away on Wednesday, September 3rd, at age 105, with her son and daughter by her side. A private family service is pending. Douglas A. McCoy, Loda. Douglas Allen McCoy, 64, died Saturday, September 27th. A celebration of his life will be from 1 to 4 p.m., Sunday, October 5th, at Lakeview Country Club, west of Loda. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the Huntington's Disease Society of America. Isaac B. Medler, Paxton. Isaac Bradley, I. Medler, 23, of Paxton, died Saturday, September 20th. A celebration of his life will take place at a later date. Judith Ann Peters, Gibson City. Judith Ann Peters, 86, died peacefully at 12:39 a.m., Tuesday, September 23rd, at Goldwater Care in Gibson City. A private burial is planned at Riverside Cemetery in Saybrook. Memorials may be made to Goldwater Care's Activity Fund in Gibson City or to a charity of the donor's choice. Kendra Smiley, East Lynn. Kendra Smiley, 73, a 1970 graduate of Paxton High School and a 2019 inductee into the PBL Alumni Hall of Fame, died Monday, September 22nd. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday, October 3rd at the Anderson Funeral Home in Hoopston. A funeral service will be held at 10:30 a.m. Saturday, October 4th at East Lynn Community Fellowship, Main Street, East Lynn. Burial will follow in the East Lynn Cemetery. Memorial donations may be made in her memory to the East Lynn Community Fellowship in East Lynn. We return to the news with Area News Briefs. LIHEAP enrollment getting underway as appointments urged. Paxton. The Eastern Central Illinois Community Action Agency announced that households can apply soon for utility bill payment assistance through the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program, LIHEAP. Ahead of the application period, income-qualified households can call the ECICAA's offices in Ford, Iroquois, and Vermilion counties to schedule an appointment. Paxton Ford County residents can call the office in Paxton at 217-579-1054, while Iroquois County residents can call the Watseka office at 815-785-1002, and Vermilion County residents can call the Danville office at 217-554-9110. To be eligible for assistance, households can have no higher than a 30-day gross household income total of $3,332 for a one-person household, $4,357 for a two-person household, $5,382 for a three-person household, $6,407 for a four-person household, $7,432 for a five-person household, or $8,457 for a six-person household. Applicants must provide proof of gross income for all household members for the prior 30-day period, plus all household members' Social Security or individual tax identification numbers, a copy of their heat and electric bills issued within the last 30 days, and a copy of their rental agreement, if renting, showing included utilities. Appointments start Wednesday, October 1st for individuals over age 60, those with long-term disability income, families with children under 5, households that are disconnected from their utilities, households that have a disconnection notice, and households that have less than 25% of their propane tank. All other income eligible households can apply starting Monday, November 3rd. Then, the second installment of Ford County property taxes are due Friday, October 3rd. Paxton. The second payment installment of 2024 Ford County property tax bills is due Friday, October 3rd. Taxes can be paid in the Treasurer's Office in Room 102 at the Ford County Courthouse at 200 West State Street in Paxton during regular business hours, or instead deposited in the drop box in front of the courthouse. They may also be paid at any Ford County bank or mailed to the county treasurer if postmarked by the installment due date, after which interest is charged on the past due amount. In case of non-payment, reminders will be mailed October 10th, followed by the publication of delinquent taxes list on October 29th. And the tax sale on November 17th. The first installment was due Friday, August 15th. Treasurer Krisha Whitcomb said 10,407 tax bills were mailed to landowners seeking to collect $39,543,348. Questions about tax bills may be directed to the Treasurer's Office at 217-379-9465. And this is Homecoming Week at PBL High School. Paxton. Homecoming Week at Paxton Buckley Lota High School is Monday, September 29th through Saturday, October 4th. Events include a homecoming parade at 6 p.m. Thursday, October 2nd. A legacy assembly at 1:40 p.m. Friday, October 3rd at the high school, which includes an induction ceremony for PBL Alumni Hall of Fame inductees. A meet and greet with Hall of Fame inductees at the high school's football field at 6 p.m. Friday, October 3rd. The introduction of Hall of Fame inductees at Zimmerman Field at 6:45 p.m. Friday, October 3rd. And the homecoming football game versus Pontiac at 7 p.m. A hometown huddle gathering at the Market Street Grill with PBL alumni invited to attend and enjoy appetizers and drinks after the football game on Friday, October 3rd. And tours of the junior high and high school at 9, 9:30, and 10 a.m. Saturday, October 4th. And tours of the elementary school at 9:30 and 10 a.m., again, Saturday, October 4th. And finally, Paxton's final brush pickup of 2025, scheduled for October 27th. Paxton. The city's last brush pickup of the year is set for Monday, October 27th. Christmas tree pickup only is offered Monday, January 5th, 2026. Brush pickup will begin on the northwest corner of the city at 7 a.m. and can continue throughout the city until all the streets and alleys have been cleared. Residents are asked to stack their brush neatly next to the alley or street. Brush should not be placed in bags. The brush must not be hanging onto the roadway, and the city will not pick up leaves. And that's all the time we have for this week's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.